Bruce Feet. Welcome along to West Kent today. My thanks to Chris Manson for bringing us through breakfast and getting us safely this time. My guest this morning is Delissa Needham, and our topic is, should you go looking for a new relationship as soon as one has ended? Are you ready to meet someone? Really ready? Good morning, Delissa.
Good morning, John. Have you noticed, you're being a man of fashion, have you noticed I'm working the Chanel look this morning?
Is that English Chanel?
No, it's the Channel Tunnel Chanel. Yeah, it's English Chanel.
Oh, yeah, it's looking very, very, very smart and attractive.
I shall just keep myself
this side of the desk, otherwise, you know.
Oh, would you go on a date with me if you were single?
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah, fine, yes. I've not been asked out on a date since, I can't remember.
anyway, yes, are you ready to meet someone is our topic for the morning.
Yes. How do we know?
Well, you know, the thing is, first of all, you've got to check whether or not you're over your previous relationship. That's the most important thing. You know, are you still grieving for that? Because if you are, then you're not ready. But at the same time, I'm a believer in moving forward and not letting the past govern, you know, or have control over what you're doing tomorrow. Because if you're still grieving for somebody, then that means they have control over what you're doing, don't they, really? And when I say grieving, I mean the end of a relationship. I don't mean the death of somebody. So you need to be, that's one of the first steps to being ready, is are you happy? Have you dealt with the issues of the previous relationship? How is your confidence level? That's another thing that's very important. And are you feeling ready physically? Do you look the part? Do you feel the part? Are you ready to you know, look good and meet somebody? Are you ready to move on? I know I keep bringing it up, but my mum always has this saying, which is, when the dog dies, throw out the basket and get a new dog. And I think it's, you know, relationships can be a little bit like that. It's like, okay, gone, next. But you've got to sort the rubbish first before you move on. And that's one of the big things I'm always stressing to people.
And there's no set time limit, is there?
Why do you have to bring it down to that level, John? It's only 10 past 10. We're talking about sex already.
No, we weren't. I was saying, you know, there's no set time for grieving a previous relationship.
Oh, I thought you said there's no sex time for a previous relationship. So I'm hearing.
I don't think we do a hearing aid advert, but it might be something we have to do. let's just recap. There is no set time for grieving after the end of a relationship.
Sorry, I've got the giggles. No, there is no set time. There is no set time. It's literally how you feel in yourself. I've got a couple of problems that will come to people that have written to me with their situations, which will explain, you know, clearly what I mean. But it's very important that you sort your happiness levels. You cannot take a previous relationship and all your previous thoughts from that relationship, or your bad thoughts or whatever, into the next relationship. You have to have sorted how you feel about it before you move on. That's absolutely crucial.
And does it depend on whether, say, let's put it crudely, you've been dumped or you've dumped somebody?
Yes, and that's tied up with happiness. It's also tied up with your confidence, because if you've been dumped by somebody and rejected, I hate that word, but that's how people feel, then their confidence suffers. And that's time to maybe address a physical side. I know it sounds silly, but a new haircut can make you feel better on that level. That's a very superficial level, but it can make you feel better. Confidence is something that comes from within. So do things that build your confidence. You know, take that extra step at work. Take that extra step in your life. Go out and take part in hobbies or something that will actually help build your confidence. But start talking to people and, you know, just engaging with people generally, and you'll start to feel more confident. But if it's really deep, go and get some professional help in terms of dealing with your confidence and yourself and your issues. That's quite important.
Because it's quite easy for us to let ourselves go. So taking pride in appearance, there's no point in me having a new haircut. I probably want a transplant by now. But taking pride in appearance, you know, just don't go sloppy and as though you're in the dumps. You know, you've got to pull yourself back up and say, I'm available, there's somebody out there, and, you know, they'll be lucky to get me.
There's somebody for everybody, John. It's just about finding that person. I do tend to talk quite a lot from a female perspective rather than from the male perspective. And so from a female perspective, yes, you go get a new haircut, will make you feel more positive about yourself, a new outfit or whatever make you feel more positive. Join a gym, take up a hobby, do something that makes you feel more physically active. So, you know, stop eating the ice cream so that you lose a little bit of weight or whatever. You know, even painting your nails can make you feel better. You know, from a male point of view, your confidence is bashed. Well, it's different for men, I guess. I'm tempted to say, you know, pull yourself together.
The programme is the Lissa Needham, and we're talking about relationships. When is the right time to start a new one? And, are you ready to meet someone really ready? We've looked a little bit like that.
It's okay. Such a serious subject, and I come here and I sit here having a fit of giggles consistently from beginning to end. It's my giggle set, really.
Anyway. Well, you can laugh during serious things.
I know. Well, we're talking about happiness, but conversely, unhappiness in a relationship or from a relationship is something you learn from, isn't it? We all learn, and I think relationships are things you progress from as well. I do say it quite a lot, but there's a really wonderful moment when, you know, when you've grieved a relationship or you've, you know, your love for somebody, that relationship ends. There's a point in your future where things are nice, things are happening to you, and you look back on that relationship and you think, thank goodness that ended. I'm glad I had it, but I'm glad it ended, because I wouldn't be doing this now or doing what I'm doing now if that hadn't ended. So it was the right thing for me. Might not feel like it at the time, but it was. And I always hope for everybody that they reach that point in relationships. I've had it, and it was a good moment when that happened. And I think that's good for everybody. So unhappiness is something you learn from, and you learn that's not what you want. And I don't think, one of the things that you shouldn't think though is that nobody's trustworthy. That's not something you want to carry forward, because everybody's different. I hear from people who say to me, are all men like this, because this has happened to me twice? No, it's just been unfortunate for you. It doesn't mean that everybody's like that. But when I'm saying, are you ready? I'm saying, are you in the right state of mind? Is your confidence strong? If not, work on it and get help doing that. And then you need to start a plan of action. What are you actually going to do to move on and find somebody else? What's your plan of action? And as you know, John, I have a two-pronged approach to that, which is, one, do the online thing, but get out there in the real world as well and meet people. And the more people you meet, this is my everyday mantra, isn't it? The more people you meet, the more chances you will meet someone. Don't go out looking to meet the one. Go out looking to meet people, and then you will meet someone.
And the one will come along eventually.
It will.
Yeah.
The more you get out there, it has to happen. You will meet somebody. But you will never meet anybody sitting on your bum watching television. Are you going to tell me your television joke again?
No.
Because it was rude.
It wasn't rude. I don't tell rude jokes. Anyway, have you got a first
letter?
Letter, yeah.
I have. Let me just put my glasses on. My glasses are not very Chanel-y. Anyway. Dear Delissa, I started drinking a lot during lockdown and have been drinking excessively since. I put on weight because of my drinking, and even when my boyfriend told me I had become aggressive when I'm drunk, I still haven't been able to stop. Anyway, we split up a few months ago and now he's going out with someone else. I think she's a work colleague, and I'd now like to meet someone else, but would like to know how I go about it.
Well, the first thing I would say is join AA.
Yeah, that's what I was just about to say too. Do you want my job? Well,
if I get the Chanel clothes to go with it.
Yeah, I mean, that's serious, isn't it, really? Because until it's back to are you ready, really, because until she sorts that issue, you can't go on to another relationship, because that means two of you are going into the relationship, you and the bottle. And you won't feel good about yourself either till well, I don't know how much weight or if she feels bad about the weight, but if the weight is impacting on her confidence, then she needs to deal with that as well. And there's so much help out there. There's so much help out there in terms of what you're drinking. There's some really good self-help books, but there's also AA. AA is brilliant.
I would suggest that she went to the doctor first and say, this is my problem. And it may get referred to counselling as well.
Yes, that's a very good idea, actually. That's a very good idea, yeah. But AA is also a pretty helpful thing. But but AA is something when you've got if you've got a really bad problem. It sounds to me like she has, but, you know, she obviously needs to get some help. And you can't go into another relationship, definitely, until that's sorted. So, what was she called? Alice. Yeah, Alice. So I hope Alice, that you go and get some help, basically. We all drink a little bit, and we were all drinking excessively during lockdown, weren't we, really? I mean, I know people who emptied their cabinets of everything they've got. There's not a bottle of wine left in my house. What else were we doing in the evenings? But most of us have stopped since then, but if you're carrying on...
Well, I made a conscious decision not to, because I knew it could be the slippery slope. So I would have a beer every couple of weeks or so.
Right. Well, that's very... Absolutely.
Very abstemious, yes. Didn't lose as much weight as I wanted to, but...
But you know, some of these low-zero beers now are really, really good. Mm. I mean, when they first started, no-alcohol beers, it was like one of those beers you get where somebody's shoved their fag in the... emptied their fag into it or something. But now there is, one of the stouts and things. I don't want to say the name.
No, you can do Guinness Zero. I haven't tried it yet, but I hear
Guinness
it's good.
Guinness Zero is really, really good, actually. I like a Guinness... I do. I've taken to liking half a Guinness every so often.
I never do things by halves.
So, she's got to go get some help.
Yeah. And getting the help will then put her into a better place of looking for relationships. She just can't leap into something now. First of all, if somebody discovers that she's got a problem, that relationship is not going to last.
No. And if you need... wine to help you with a relationship, then you have a problem.
Yeah.
You know, actually, one of the... Oh, I was going back to that SX word again, John.
Okay.
Now 10:30, but, one of the things that people who drink a lot find most frightening is the idea of having SEX.
Yeah.
without alcohol, which is, sad to hear, isn't it? Really?
It is indeed, yes.
It's quite a fuel, but it's,
And particularly, alcohol is a depressant.
Such a depressant.
Physically and mentally.
It
stops you enjoying life, for certainly.
Yeah.
For that.
It really, really does. I forgot to say that, John. Thank you for reminding me. Yeah, it's a terrible depressant. And so if you're in a bad state of mind already because of a relationship and you drink, you will be absolutely crippled. Next day. I know that I am. It doesn't do me any good at all.
Right, we're going to come back to your second letter after we've had a break and the travel. And here we go with Dancing in the Key of Life from Steve Arrington. Yeah. See ya, and Kylie Minogue. You're listening to West Kent today with me, John Butt. And Dillis and Edom is with me. And we're looking at relationships and... you've got a second letter for us, haven't you?
I do have. And one of the things I wanted to say then before we move on is that before you move into another relationship, you must remember that, moving into another relationship is not just looking for somebody to support you. Man is not a life support system. Gin is. A man is not. You know, it's about looking for a friendship, looking for maybe improve on what you've just moved away from, whatever. Anyway, I do have another letter. And it's from a lady called Yasmin, and she wrote to me to ask about what she should do, basically, because her partner of 6 years had left her for her best friend's sister. And she says, I hate him, and I hope he rots in.
Yes.
Whatever, you know.
You can echo the sentiments in that one, can't you?
Like to kick him or whatever, anyway. Anyway, because he kept telling her that he never loved anyone as much as her and he wanted to get married someday, etc., etc. And she says, this has happened to me before with a previous boyfriend. And she's now thinking of going online and looking to meet somebody new. But she's saying to me, are all men as horrible as my two exes, or is it me?
It's easy to take on...
It's you, Claire, it's you!
Well, it's easy to feel guilty about it and start criticising yourself and saying, yes, it's me. But it does take two to tango, doesn't it?
It does, it does. I say in my book, you know, that you must... The moving on from that relationship will come when you accept your part in it too. Every relationship breaks down because of two people, for whatever reason. And it, you know, it's not because there's something wrong with you. It is if you're drinking, that's not a great idea. But, you know, there's nothing that you can't change or, you know, improve on about yourself. But you must accept that it takes two for that to break down. But, no, not all men are horrible. My exes, mostly. No, they're not. I'm really good friends with most of my exes. And one day you'll be very good friends with this guy. Claire, or Yasmin, sorry, because you'll understand what's happened to you and why this happened as well. But, you know, getting over you at the moment, relationships have a grieving period. And at the moment, Yasmin, you're in the anger part of that grief. And, you know, I understand that. But don't let this person govern the next stages of your life. The sooner you can come to terms with what's happened and that it ain't going to change, and that you need to accept what's happened, move forward, and then you can start meeting somebody new. But you've got to get over this anger bit.
Yes, and that can be a real barrier. But, you know, as you said earlier, that there's probably fault on both sides. Yeah. A little bit of self-analysis, well, not denying what has gone on, and saying, well, how can I learn from this?
Yes.
And move on from there.
Don't take the full blame, because that's really bad. You know, it's not about, you know, because you're this or that. It's, you know, this person has decided it's not the right thing for them, so they've moved on, you know.
Yeah. Right, anything else we've got?
Yeah, I've got a real downriver one, actually.
Oh, that's nice to finish on.
John, oh, this is from, I won't say her name because I think it's her real name. It says, Dear Delissa, I was married for a long time to a very loving, caring husband. He couldn't have been a nicer person, but he now has severe frontal lobe dementia, and he's in a specialist care home, which makes him violent and aggressive towards her. The husband that I knew is gone, and, you know, I take my wedding vows seriously, that's what she's saying, but he's not there in the same way anymore. And it seems that a boyfriend and near neighbour from her past is being very caring, very attentive, and they are spending a lot of time together, and she feels guilty about that. I would say don't feel guilty. Life goes on.
In one respect, we've got to say that her husband, who's now violent, doesn't know what he's doing, has in fact, it's like a death before death. And marriage vows are supposed to be for life, but first of all, she needs to talk to the care home and say, is it really worth me coming in to see him?
Yeah.
That's a hard choice to make, because if he's going to get violent every time, then why put yourself through it?
Must be very distressing.
Oh, it's horrible. Yeah. And then she's got this friend who is caring and attentive, and she's developing feelings for him. Yeah. Just take it easy and let that friendship grow.
Yes, and be supported by it.
She sounds as though she's not a young lady.
No, I don't think she is.
So, you know, let's enjoy life while we have it.
Yeah.
And not feel guilty about it, because there's nothing either she can do or her husband can do about reconciliation or whatever. This is it's a horrid...
horrid disease. He doesn't even recognise her, effectively.
Yeah. So for him, she doesn't exist.
It's very interesting you say it's almost like a death before death.
Mm.
Because that is what it is.
It is.
And it's good advice, John, actually, to talk to the care home about, because, and I think, I assume she's getting support from her doctor as well about that, because obviously there are support services for people.
Yeah, if she isn't getting support from the doctor, go and see the doctor and say, this is the situation.
Yeah.
She's only making it worse if she carries on visiting.
Painful for her.
Yeah.
It must be so depressing, so sad. Because you're still seeing the shell of the person that you were married to and happy with.
And dementia takes different forms. There's some that people are very gentle and don't change, but a common form of dementia is they do get angry and violent and, you know, it's just upsetting.
Yeah. I think that the front lobal dementia, though, as well, is particularly bad. It's a sort of... It impacts, you know, the mind in a very violent way. You know, I do know have somebody else who I know who's been attacked by their husband quite violently. It's quite, depressing thing. Anyway. So, yes, I hope she finds happiness in the future. But it sounds like she's having a pretty awful time.
And I would say that she's in the situation... I'm dealing with dementia in May. We've got Dementia Awareness Month. I've got somebody coming in who runs and has organised dementia-friendly cafes and clubs.
Oh, really?
And it's actually worth going to them, even if you haven't got somebody to take along, because you'll meet other people there who have been going through it, and it's there for support.
Is this for partners and the dementia sufferer?
It can be for partners, and it can be for both of them going along. It depends on, you know, what it is. You're not going to take somebody violent along, but if she goes along to one of these dementia-friendly cafes or whatever and just says, I'm here because my partner's got dementia, he's got violent, and I'm going through hell.
To find support there.
Yeah.
Good idea. But it also, are they also places where you can go and you can leave that partner and give yourself a break for 2 or 3 hours?
Well, if this chap's in the care home, isn't he? So it's not good. That's, I'm like, yes, but there are places where you can a bit of respite care for the day and go do some shopping.
Yeah.
And some care agencies will come and sit for a couple of hours or so. To give you a break. It's a hard one. And dementia is on the increase.
It is. I don't know why, you know. And it used to be when we were much younger, John, when people had dementia, it seemed to be in a much milder form as well.
And I can remember when people just locked away with it. You know, there were places, sometimes called asylums, but sometimes called mental hospitals. And there were people in those places that shouldn't have been there, but that's another story.
Yeah.
But as we know, social care at the moment is going through a complete hiatus because we haven't got the money to do everything that's necessary.
No.
But that's still part of relationships, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah. And it's the sad part of a relationship, you know, in sickness and in health. As you say, that's a commitment that has to end at some point, and it usually ends with death, and dementia in its severest form like that is a form of death.
Well, being personal, my mum got vascular dementia, and I'm not saying she was always an awkward lady, but
did she become more awkward?
Well, she'd had a few strokes, and so she couldn't move. So my sister lived near a decent care home in Gillingham, and we were bringing my mum up from Cornwall, but my mum wanted to go back to Thanet, where her family originated from.
Right.
So I was in Hartford at the time, so I had to trek all the way round, cross the bridge, down to Thanet, pick my sister up on the way because she didn't drive, and we'd be there for about a quarter of an hour. She thought I was her husband, that my son was me, and I asked her once, they had a garden party at the home, and I said to her, did you go to it? Oh, she says, no, my holiday here comes to an end soon, I'm going home. So I said, well, where's home? So she gave me the address, and she moved from there when she got married in the 1950s.
Oh, dear.
And I did speak to the care home staff, and they said, look, if you don't come, she's not going to notice. And at the end of 2013, we had all those terrible floods.
Yeah.
And I was living out in East Peckham and cut off from everywhere. And she died early January, but we couldn't get across to see her or anything like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, we didn't exist in her mind anymore as the people we were. Once we'd gone, that was it.
It's so hard, isn't it? Because I've had relatives with dementia. It's so hard to reach that point where you're looking at that person expecting them still to be that normal person, and then they say something which makes you realise that they're not.
Mm.
They're gone. There's a different person there. Yeah. It's a different thing. I mean,
she was going to catch the Green Line home. Well, Green Line buses haven't existed for years.
I remember my parents once taking home Auntie Molly, and Auntie Molly had moved a house since they'd last taken her. But because she had dementia, she kept taking them back to her old house and not the new one. And they didn't know where the new one was. And they were driving around for ages with Auntie Molly.
Yeah. Well, we're rapidly running out of time, so we're going to have a couple of tracks before the news. The next one is Call My Name from Cheryl. Hopefully you won't forget it. Thank you, Delissa.
Thank you very much for having me again, John.
And we'll see you
next
month.
We'll talk sex next time.
That's all I ever do, to talk about it.